afternoon, everybody. Today we have visiting Rotarian Matthew Nicolai from Anchorage South Rotary. Hi, Matthew. And please welcome Tom Williams from the Anchorage Downtown Rotary.
Hi, Tom.
And hello to Milton Bird, Downtown Rotary.
Hi, Milton.
And finally, Joan Fisher from Downtown Rotary.
Hi, Joan.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Oh, we have one more.
One more.
Who are you?
Ferguson.
Which Rotary?
Downtown Rotary.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim. Thank you, Suzanne. And on our head table.
Could I have one more?
Please? We got one more. Suzanne.
Mitzi Mitchler from the Anchorage Hillside Rotary.
Thank you. Hi, Mitzi. All right, I'd like to introduce our head table. To my left, immediate, is our speaker for today, photographer extraordinaire Clark Mitchler. And to his left is his wife extraordinaire, Mitzi Mitchler. And then we have Chris Rognes on holding up the end. And on my right, we have, of course, our pledger, Walt Featherly, and Barry Kirksley. Thank you, gentlemen, ladies. Please don't forget the yellow cups on your tables. You know what those are for, and Jimmy does too. Our Sergeant of Arms, Diane, I think the floor is yours.
All right. We have a treat today because one of our newest members joined our club, and she shared with me because it was for our music.
Yeah.
She comes from a club where they sang, and this is how they opened their meeting.
Hi, everybody. I think I was really drunk when I sang the song for Diana. She told her she's going to do this. At my last Rotary Club, we had a tradition of singing a song every single week, and it made us very embarrassed to do it, and I'm going to embarrass myself today by doing it. Here we go.
We here in Rotary welcome you today. So glad you came along, glad you came our way. Our hand of fellowship is yours in sunshine and in rain. We here in Rotary say welcome, come again. And Rosalie wants to buy a ticket for the Split the Pot. I want to remind you all, if you didn't, you can still do it back here. Rosalie, today is one for $1. And let me start. Joyful Heart? Yes. Susan? Wonderful.
One of these soon to be standing in for? Great. Susan Bunker here. I have three guests with me. It is summer vacation, as you know. And I have my 3 9-year-olds with me. One took off. I don't know where she went. So there's a happy dollar for... Actually, the table's pretty clean. And also, yesterday... Pretty good. Yesterday was my 10th anniversary in Rotary. I'd like to make a $100 donation to my father.
Susan, you've been a valuable member all of those 10 years. Thank you.
Standing in, President Greg... Fellow Rotarians, I'm Sally Archer, and I have a happy buck today because I have the pleasure of inviting all of you to attend the Changing of the Guard event on Wednesday, June 24th. On the tables, you will find a sign-up sheet, and we very much want you to place your name as well as your guest name on that sheet so that the hotel Captain Cook will have all the food that we need to serve you that evening. There will be a house wine for $5 a glass, beer for $3 a glass. It is a Hawaiian theme, so think for a moment of being on the beach and being served Mai Tais. Mai Tais will be regularly priced cocktails for that evening. Again, it's at the Hotel Captain Cook at 5:30, and we hope all of you will be able to attend.
I'm wearing my Hawaiian shirt. I hope everybody brings their Hawaiian stuff.
Thank you. Yes. Mary Sunshine.
Why, thank you.
for soon-to-be President Greg and fellow Rotarians, I have a happy dollar and a sad dollar. The happy dollar is that Kevin Curtis took me and my brother and future wife fishing. We went, no, his future brother. He took us to Jim Creek fishing, and we saw moose and bald eagle, and I lots of wildlife. That's a happy dollar. And all of a sudden, we pulled out some bananas, and we did not catch any fish. That's a sad dollar. Apparently, you're not supposed to bring bananas on a fishing trip. So, thank you, Kevin, for a wonderful time, but no fish. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And Kathleen.
Vice President Greg and fellow Rotarians, the ARI meeting, Anchorage East Rotary Information and Education and Information meeting, will not be next Wednesday. It's going to be the third Wednesday this month, so June 17th. Mark your calendars. I just want to let you know, don't show up next week at the bagel factory. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's amazing how some people pay for club announcements. Thank you, Kathleen.
I also have a club announcement, and we'll pay for that as well. Good afternoon, fellow Rotarians. I'm Rochelle Eaglin. I just like to make an announcement that I'm going to be the social chair next month, and one of the things that we talked, or next, for the next year, and one of the things we talked about is getting together and going to the Lion King as a group, and several people have said they'd like to do that. We chose a matinee, and then we're going to choose a place for dinner. Next Wednesday, we're going to collect and buy those tickets. The preference date that I got was in September, so I'll send out an email and let you know what the cost of that is, and then we can all go together. And if we choose to eat at the fabulous Captain Cook, oops, I think I'm going to get a fine. Oh, well, I'm prepared for that. Anyway, in the crow's nest, I'll make it worth your while. So anyway, definitely we'll be there. And I also wanted to give a happy dollar for Sandra. And actually, too, one also for Diana. I think we get those emails all the time about, or maybe I'll just give you 10. There you go. About the refugees. And we have a lot of different things that are at the Captain Cook because we're doing an extreme remodel on all of our rooms. Well, you're doing a really great job taking care of those families. I think they'll be able to furnish houses by the time that we're done. So thank you so much for that. And one last thing, I want to make a $500 pledge to Paul Harris.
Thank you, Rochelle. But you know, how many in the room have noticed that Rochelle's tan has deepened since she got that job, that raise that her employer gave her a new job, and now her tan is deepening? Yeah, she's in the executive room. Yeah. And at this table, any other joyful hearts, things you'd like to share with your fellow Rotarians? With this eye here, joyful hearts. Yes, to me.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Jimmy. Hi. I have a happy dollar because Sandra just gave me my grades, and they are pretty good, and I'm happy about it. Another thing, I'm really happy because last weekend, I got to go to Cliff's cabin. It was fun. And apparently, mosquitoes love me, so all my back is full of mosquito bites. So, yeah. Oh, I'm big. Sorry. and I'm happy also because next Saturday, I'm going to the West Coast.
Can you repeat that for us? It's hard of hearing. Where is he going?
On the West Coast.
Excellent.
Tour.
Good luck on that. Sergeant Diane?
Yes.
Can I interject a request from our no fine button bearer, Heather? She wanted to get that one in quickly. Millie, go for it since you're standing, and we'll let Heather, if you don't mind there.
Okay,
Sergeant.
Well, it's a little bit long, but I. Thank you.
wannabe one-day President Greg, fellow Rotarians. I purchased the No Fine button last week for a very high price, seeing as how I only get 3 weeks this month. Some of you know that my Rotary classification is philanthropy. I've spent my professional and political and volunteer life raising money for worthy causes, millions and millions of dollars, truly. The list is long and very deep. The arts, theater, opera, symphony, community chorus, education, lots of that. Human services, domestic violence and sexual assault, that ugly, often hidden secret in our community. Human and civil rights, all of us deserve equality, regardless of our backgrounds and wherever we are headed. And even to my religious organizations, no, contrary to popular opinion, I am not a heathen. Most of us have seen some reverses recently. These have been fairly trying times. But this is even more true among the organizations that serve our community. The basis of all philanthropy is trust. You give because you believe the money is used efficiently and effectively. And I give, and I suspect you give, because there's always some individual or organization who has greater needs than we do. And now in my retirement, so to speak, I give of my time, my talent, and my treasure. So let's make June the month of generosity. So for my No Fine button, I'm going to give the opportunity to organizations and or individuals to tell you in 3 minutes about their fundraising efforts and, most important, why you should assist them. Today, let me introduce Jim Torgerson, who is the board president of the Anchorage Symphony, and we also put $20 in the Youth Exchange Cup. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Heather. I see one of my fellow board members, Walter, here, so I will fess up to being the past president of the board rather than the current president because he knows better. But I am the chair or co-chair of the endowment campaign for the Anchorage Symphony Orchestra, and I want to talk for just a bit about that. I've been working with the Symphony Orchestra board for about 5 or 6 years now, and during that time there are three things that I've come to know and believe. One is that the organization is important and it's strong. The second is that it's facing what is probably an existential challenge. And the third is that it's a challenge we can meet as a community. The importance of the strength of the organization comes from the fact that we've got an executive director who's been with us for about 20 years, a music director, Randy Fleischer, who's been with us 10 years, dynamic, passionate, gifted, and a history of meeting our budget year after year. The importance of the organization comes apart from the concerts that the symphony puts on each year, but also from the focus on education, which is a very large part of our mission. And we accomplish that mission in part by bringing students, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders into concerts each year, by putting orchestra members into the schools to teach instruments, but also because we have a large number of members of the orchestra who are both professional-level musicians leading their sections and also our music educators teaching in the school district. Those folks were first brought to Alaska 25, 30 years ago when the salaries in the school district there were higher than they were other places. That pipeline of really highly talented, gifted musician teachers has petered out. And that leads us to the existential challenge that I'm talking about. Those folks who've been here 25 or 30 years are now having the temerity to think about retiring. And we know that as they retire, the quality of the symphony is going to be in danger unless we can find new musicians of equal caliber to move into the orchestra and to assume those positions. And we know that the pipeline that brought them here before isn't there anymore because the school district is no longer paying those higher salaries. So we've got to find some way to make up that difference. And in looking at our funding sources, we make enough from our current revenues to meet our expenses each year, but we don't make enough to put new money into bringing talented people into this community. So we've been determining how we can go about doing that. Most of the best ideas involve working with the school districts so we can get really strong music educators to keep the strength of those programs going while at the same time get really strong performers. but they're going to take more money. And the one revenue source that we can see that we think we can grow is an endowment fund. We don't have any revenue coming from endowments right now. Most orchestras do, and we are looking to the community to help us build that. So if you get a call from someone, Walter taps you on the shoulder, please listen with your heart and think about the importance of the orchestra, not just for the concerts, but also for the education of the young people of this community, and help us succeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Sergeant, you may proceed.
Thank you. I'm Millie Waddell Fogel, and I was a member of this group starting about 10 years ago. I'm a retired educator from Anchorage School District and University of Alaska. Right now, I have $20.50 for a variety of reasons to give to you. And part of it is that my husband, Paul Fogel, and I, because of some of you, have become Paul. I'm a Paul Harris Fellow for the second time at the Staff Arts. And he is now a new Paul Harris Fellow as of this month, or the month of May. But even more than that, I want to, in addition to what I've just contributed here, and I want to say people in this organization had contributed to my Paul Harris. One of them was Eleanor Andrews and other people. And then I now belong to the Naples, Florida group where I am in the winter. And they matched the funds that had been given here. So that was a wonderful event. So I want to add another $100 to Rochelle Edelin Paul Harris because she has performed above and beyond the call of duty as an executive at the Captain Cook and as a Rotarian in welcoming last weekend the president of the Rotary Club of Naples, Florida to her hotel in a grand, grand manner.
Really, that's very generous, $100 towards a fellow Rotarian, Paul Harris, the show.
Thank you, President Gregg. I have an announcement for our new board members. That is just a reminder that within a week, or before next Wednesday, I'd like everybody to have the final version of their plans to me electronically sometime before next Wednesday. Be ready to go forward. That's it.
Hi, I'm Anne-Marie Moylan, and I have an announcement about what I think is the best way to invite new people into the Rotary family, and that's invite them to join you at the food pantry next Saturday, the 13th. It's a great way to really see friendly faces, smile, and enjoy what we give back to the community. That's the 13th. There's sign-up sheets on your table. Please write the name of your kids down on that sheet as well as yourself. It's great to see everybody out. Thank you.
Practicing President Gregg, Sergeant Diane, I'm Rich Tyson, and I have... my wife and I just spent three glorious weeks with Christina and Jeff Blake on a grand holiday, and as his sponsor, I'm very, very pleased to tell you that he wore his Rotary pin every day.
Jeff, what about Rich? Can you report the same? Okay, good job, Laura. Yes.
Acting President Gregg, it's good to see you up there. I think you were born to be president. You look so austere, handsome. You look like a president. Anyway, actually, I was going to, for the record, I want to make sure that everyone knows about the truth, okay? Mary, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I want to tell you that it is true that it's bad luck to bring bananas on a boat for fishing. So. However, it's also true that I've gone fishing with Kevin Curtis, and I believe that the bananas had little, if anything, to do with the fact that you didn't catch any fish, okay? That's the truth.
Thank you, Dave. Truth Monitor Dave. Now, I'm just wondering if Jeff left his pin on his vacation clothes. Oh, my gosh. He's using it as a tie tack. Good job, Jeff. Any other joyful heart? Yes.
President Greg, Michael Browder. I would like to give a happy dollar to the Congress group for last Saturday's refugee breakfast. It was absolutely awesome. The food was great. The children were bright-eyed. They had a great opportunity to go outside and play. And the adults had a great opportunity to interact with Rotarians who really was concerned and interested in their assimilation to our community. So happy dollar for that. It was very fun.
I'd like to add on to that, if you don't mind interrupting here. I had a little video I wanted to mention. Sandra and especially Diana Strzok have just broken their backs helping these folks. And it occurred to me that maybe our club didn't really realize this is really our club speaking through these two women, to these people. This isn't just something they're doing on their own and they kind of say, hey, you know, help out if you can. No, our club is really... there'll be more information about this in the newsletter coming out, but our club is really responsible, right? And we've taken on this through Sandra and Diana and our members. And there's a lot of Rotarians that came to this brunch that was really, really an eye-opener for me. Although I was one of the men who sat in the corner and didn't want to say anything, you know, just kind of watch everybody, including Sandra and Bruce dancing. I don't know if I want to remember that, but no, you did very good. But it was brought to my attention to announce that the men in these families are going to need to start making income. And one of them speaks English, the other doesn't. Can you imagine yourself being hauled off to another country, flopped down, the federal government, the federal government of that country helping you out a little bit, just barely, to get by? And they're going to say, well, you know, the rest is up to you. Good luck. Well, it'd be great if anybody has summer jobs, anything, are they working, you know, something these guys can do to help out around your house that they can be paid for. Or if you know of anybody else who might need help, landscaping, painting, anything along these lines, please contact Daniel Strzok or Sandra. Thank you.
No one is laughing any money my way. Oh, wait, Sandra? Good.
I can present Greg and such a nice man. I have a guest, and you'll recognize him because he was here last week with the student engineers, Utpal Gupta. He's a professor at the university, and afterwards I talked to him about there were so many tie-ins between what those engineers want to do and what Rotary already did. And I talked to him about Rotary and said, would you like to come back and consider being a member? So he's here. And could you give him a hand and please welcome him?
Welcome. And don't forget, we sing.
Yeah.
Standing in, President Greg, and to my fellow Rotarians, I just want to ask those the 4-way committee, can I just get you to raise your hands? The 4-way committee, the 4-way test committee. And I just want to thank those who came out to McLaughlin about 2 weeks ago to work with my students. They did an awesome job. The students wrote letters and thanked them, and so you'll get them next week. But it was just wonderful. My students just loved it. So thank you so much for doing that. They're looking for you. So thank you.
No one's giving me the eyes. Go ahead.
Well, I've got a couple more things I'm going to throw out here. I want to say special thanks to Amy Slinker for doing such a slick job on our newsletter. You guys should check it out. And in that newsletter, there's a birth announcement. Anybody know about Andrew Romagall's new edition? That's right. That's right. Check out the newsletter and or online and on the website for this and more information. Also, who can tell me what happened Saturday, 65 years ago, this coming Saturday? Al's not here today, so we're going to have to fill in. We got a hand. D-Day, that's right. All right, with that, I'm going to ask Walter to come up and introduce Clark, who's going to give us a wonderful photographic program. If somebody could man the lights when Clark heads up, I appreciate it.
Clark James Mishler is well known certainly to all of us East Anchorage Rotarians and likely to all of our guests here as well. Mr. Mishler was trained as a graphic designer, and he was first introduced to the photographic process in 1970 while studying at the Art Center College of Design in Los Angeles. In 1977, Mr. Mishler was hired as a layout editor by a National Geographic magazine in Washington, D.C., and he returned to Alaska in 1979. Mr. Mishler's editorial photography has been published in numerous regional, national, and international publications. And his 2007 book, Anchorage, Life at the Edge of the Frontier, thank you, was awarded first place for nonfiction by the Independent Publishers Association. Mr. Mishler currently lives in Anchorage with his wife, Missy. And he is a member of the American Society of Media Photographers and the National Press Photographers Association. A couple of days ago, when I learned that I had been given the honor of introducing Mr. Mishler, I wrote to him and asked him if he would share with me something that he would that would be surprising maybe to most of us. And Mr. Mishler wrote back and said, oh, there I really isn't anything about me that anyone would find surprising. And then he said, except for maybe that incident with Hillary Clinton on the trampoline. So we'll be sure to ask him about that during the Q&A. But he did say that what he thought would set him apart and might be surprising is that he truly loves his job. Well, Clark, that's not a mystery to any of us. It is very evident to all of us that you do truly love your job, and we once again look forward to you sharing with us your images.
Thanks, Walter. I'm going to promise that this presentation today is not going to be wall-to-wall words. In fact, if some of you, like me, are a little more right-brained than left-brained, you're going to find that this is 100% visual today, and you'll follow it fairly closely. I'm going to throw a lot of images at you today, and I'm going to lose a few of you, but hopefully everybody will keep up. A lot of people ask me about my professional work versus my personal work, and I'm going to try to talk to that today about how sometimes what you want to do sometimes collides with what you like to do. This is WEO, and this is really the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, or in this case maybe the year. I like photographing the WEO every year up in Fairbanks. It's really a great event, and it's where Native people of Alaska come together and do wonderful things. And to be at the part of that is really terrific. It's a great opportunity for some of the favorite things I like to do is just making portraits of people. And I set up a little portrait studio and run them through. I've got this on a timer, but I may try to speed it up a little bit. Sometimes, you wait for that. You set up your camera and you hope that you're going to get the exact shot that you want. And sometimes it happens. I just love this shot because it so much sums up the spirit of WEO. If you ever get a chance to go up and see that event, it's really, really terrific. A World Eskimo Indian Olympics. Now we're in Ketchikan, where I spend at least a week every year. Last year we spent 2 weeks there, and once in winter and one in the summer. And Ketchikan, for those of you who haven't been there in a while, is really a terrific little community that used to be all about logging and fishing. Now it's really about tourism, and the logging and the fishing have really taken a second, third, or fourth step backwards. And they have embraced tourism in a big way, and the people who live there are great personalities, great things that they do. From this young lady who flies her own airplane to young carvers who are absolutely amazing. Donnie Vernell here is one of the great carvers, and he's just in his late 20s. Fishing, of course, is still big down there, but now it's kind of a different kind of tourism event rather than a catch to sell. You can take a tour and listen to stories of all sorts. I find the older the tour guide, the better. They were working on this totem, so it gave me an opportunity to get a little bit different image of out at Totem Park. Nathan Jackson, of course, one of the great, and you can actually go to the shed there in Saxman and see him carving his latest piece, and what a thrill that is. He'll stop and talk to you and answer your questions. Or you can go out on a tour and go up and down the vehicles, like little go-karts, up and down the old trails for logging. It's been turned into a tourist destination. So we're very big on Ketchikan. They've developed their resources there very wisely. Here's Mitzi contemplating her hanging from a rope at, how many feet up was that? That was about 100 feet up in the air, on these suspended from trees. And you can see that she's fairly concerned. Zip lines, you bet, and they are fun. They are fun. Unless, of course, you get your coat caught in it, and rips it up and stops you right in the middle of the zip line. Everybody looks at you like you're an idiot. Of course, that wasn't me. Miss Mitzi gets into this stuff, and she's a great actress, but she really was having a thrill here. This is all Ketchikan. This is again near the zip lines. They also have some wildlife. They've got some caribou there, and some they got a bald eagle, and they have got this a couple of owls, and you can get up close and see. They also have this thing called the Blueberry Festival, which is I was always looking for that one photograph that said Blueberry Festival, right? And I think I got it. Some of the locals, you know, it's just like I feel like a kid in a candy store. The stuff is like just picking apples off the tree. And of course, you can't miss the Blueberry Festival slug races. I'm telling you, this is excitement in a bottle. It's a little slow, but it's fun. This is a great couple. They take care of tours out to a bear viewing area, and they're both in their 90s, and he's still toting his old Winchester that he was handed down to him by his grandfather. So you can imagine how old that Winchester is. So this is what you get to see. And, of course, the gun is just in case those bears get a little more interested in you than they do the fish. And he brought up a pot and got some cramps. Now, I'm going to take you a little step beyond Ketchikan, and this is a project that we've been working on for about 3 years now with a group, with a couple in Ketchikan, and we're doing a cookbook. And while current economic conditions in Ketchikan have put a slow on this project, both Mitzi and I feel very strongly that this project will happen. And when it does, it's going to be the best cookbook you've ever seen. It's going to be terrific. It's all about Alaska's fish, and it's all about Alaskans and how we enjoy our fish and how we enjoy everything about what comes out of the ocean. I might tell you, too, this partnership, Mitzi has been terrific on this project. She's a nurse. She has absolutely no background in food preparation beyond just being a real great around-the-house cook. And yet, she has this innate ability to be an art director on food, like the best I've ever worked with. And she has done all the art direction on this food. And afterwards, of course, we had to eat it. And we've had about 6 or 7 shoots now, and boy, I'll tell you, that on that 3-day shoot, that last day, you invite all your friends over, and you sit down and eat everything you prepared for the last 3 days. It's pretty exciting. Portrait of a salmon. I mean, I had to make a portrait of a salmon, or no? In fact, is that your hand, Mitzi? That's a lot of this kind of stuff, too. Kind of local people enjoying local food in kind of an Alaskan way. And taking it a step further, I did a calendar this year for the Cancer Association here in town. And we did this. The theme was Chefs of Anchorage. So this was a very fun project where they all came over to the studio and we just had some fun. This is the god of the Caesar, as you know, Van Hale, former member of this organization. UAA's program. Now we're out to the Alaska State Fair, which I have had the opportunity to do for about the last 7 to 10 years. I've lost count. They keep inviting me back, and I have a wonderful time out there. I spend usually about anywhere from 4 to 6 days out there at the fair and photograph all things that are fair. Of course, the kids are always my favorite. People pretend they're kids for a while. And they pay me for this. That's the amazing part. I just love connecting with people like this, you know. They know I'm taking their picture. They're into it, and we're all having fun. Now,
the trick on this one, photographers, is to get low, make the dog look even higher. So I was actually shooting right at the grass when I shot this picture. For those of you who have border collies, you know that look. They are indeed nutty dogs. The prize is given out for the largest and the most perfect cabbages. And I just love this kid. He showed up in the right colors too, didn't he? Those of you who haven't been to the fair in a while, it's really spectacular. A lot of people who go to the fair for the first time have never been to the Alaska State Fair. Always say, you know, I've been to a lot of state fairs, a lot of county fairs. Nothing comes close. This was shot with 8 governors, 5 lights, and a 300 millimeter lens. And it got a lot of play, including the cover of Alaska Magazine. Now, say what you will about Sarah Palin, say what you will about her politics, she has always been very gracious to all of us photographers. And that was one hell of a ride, wasn't it? I really had fun. And she treated me very nicely, let me tell you. She really is as sweet as she is. I love that Secret Service guy, don't you? I'm going to show you 3 different pictures here, just to give you an idea of the kind of things I try to think about when I'm taking pictures. These are 3 related photographs shot within a few minutes of each other, and 3 completely different ways of shooting the same picture. This being one, using the same people, taking this picture, and then finally taking this picture. Each has its own application, of course. We're shooting a lot of these formats these days due to the fact that we use them across the banners for tops of web pages. The Freeze Project, if you blinked, you missed it. It took a week to put up, and it took just 2 days to completely melt. So I luckily was there during the entire process of the Freeze Project, and I was able to photograph the people who came from all over the world to assemble these pieces. And it was, if you remember, the coldest snap Anchorage has seen in many years. And so some of these people from Southern California had never seen cold weather in their lives, were suddenly standing outside all day long at 20 below and colder. And they did an unbelievable job. And not one complaint.
because of the artist who created this piece. But it was really best at night when they were lit. During the daytime, you'd walk right by this, but at night it was a completely different situation. And finally, everything started to melt. But with the melting, some of the pieces kind of came to life. Remember that big melt we had right in the middle of winter? It was pretty dramatic, but I always look at those as opportunities. I always say, okay, somewhere out there, because of this melting, there's going to be something really cool. And I found these right out in front of my house in the sidewalk where these leaves that had been suspended, you know, in fall, all of a sudden became kind of interesting. This is where that personal work comes in. You're kind of looking beyond assignments. You're just saying, okay, what do I want to photograph? Nifty and I had an opportunity this spring to go down to the Alaska Sea Life Center in Seward. And we got a drive there just as this class was arriving. I got all these kids running around like nuts out in front of the building. We have a new display down there for salmon. Salmon in all different stages of life. So I was had a great opportunity to photograph this for the first time. These giant prawns. They're really big. And there's no place better to photograph birds. If you're really into bird photographs, this is the place to do it. You can bring your 200-millimeter lens or even your 100-millimeter lens and get terrific images. I mean, who knows if that's not out by a glacier somewhere? I don't know that. I love this kind of nature imitating nature. And they have this little guy. What was his name? Skittles. And he's going to be taking off to a zoo soon, someplace in New York. But in the meantime, I have the opportunity to go in and photograph him. Now we're in Yosemite. We just returned last week from Yosemite in California. We went down for a wedding with Mitzi's daughter. So we spent a few days, actually 2 days, in Yosemite Park, and I had an opportunity to do, again, that kind of personal work, kind of coming into, this is the kind of stuff that I shoot when I'm shooting my personal work. These photographs may never sell, but I just kind of like making photographs that kind of make you kind of go, what? That's this really cheap model. What you're looking at here is a 100% reflection. Everything in this picture is reflected. Except for maybe that stump at the very top. I think that's actual. This is one of my favorite photographs from the trip. And these are dispensers made specifically for Yosemite Park. Now we're getting really stupid and personal, but this is what I see when I'm in Yosemite Park. This is what I see. This is what I photograph. And I love these kinds of photographs. I'm trying to bring the rest of you along with me. There's that same cheap model again. She's right on the edge of the cliff, too, and she's going, I'm really nervous. Hurry. I don't want to die before my daughter's wedding. Now, this is, again, typical of the kind of imagery that I love and look for. We're in Yosemite Park. How do we say something about the park we've never seen before? You know, we walked for 2 miles through the sequoias looking for this picture. 2 miles. Got back to the parking lot, and there was the photo. So I could have saved myself a lot of walking. This is El Capitan. Self-portrait of Fitzy and myself at the San Francisco Art Museum. There's a great mirror out front. We always make our photograph there. This is the wedding. The girls just had a pedicure, and I had to make a photograph of their feet. This is the lovely bride and the flower girl and the bridesmaid. Don't forget those details, photographers. Move in. Get the detail. I'm not sure what to say about this photograph. I'm not sure what's going on here. I'm not sure I want to know. We're going to talk about collections now. We're going to run a little bit late. Want me to continue? You want to stop here? Okay. These are my collections. These are collections of ones that I take. Everywhere I go, I'm looking for ones. If you see any that are interesting, let me know. Of course, my biggest collection is collecting faces. I love faces of all kinds. And you put little flags on your glasses, I'm going to photograph it. This was recently a photograph. This young lady was at the International Museum or International Gallery. She was painting the walls. And I came in and I saw this light and I said, hold it. I got to make your photograph. I like this guy's glasses. So I said, I'm going to make a photograph of this guy because of his glasses. This is a self-portrait. An old daguerreotype. Has a lot of reflective quality to it. Speaking of reflections, this is my daughter down in San Francisco. So one of my other collections is my asphalt collection. I shoot a lot of things that have to do with asphalt, and I'm not sure why. I just kind of go with it. This is my hunting and fishing business, the business of hunting and fishing collection. I'm working on this for about 3 years now. I've got quite a few. This is definitely personal work here. I'm just never, ever going to sell. This is my, when you're getting your car washed and you've got nothing to do, collection. Excuse me? I'm not sure. I think it's just stupidity. I just can't sit still is what it comes down to, basically. that's fun, though, don't you think? I mean, you know, it beats, you know, you can't listen to the radio. They want you to shut everything off, so you can't do much. This is my waiting series, making photographs of people waiting. This is Sears, by the way. I waited about a week there one afternoon. Waiting for tires change. Everybody ever done that one? It's the end. They're waiting for a start of a race in San Francisco last week. Yeah, the breakers today, beta breakers. Yeah, yeah. Most of the people ran nude, actually. If you'd like to look at my new website, just new 2 weeks ago, this is it, MishlerPhotos.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Clark. And I would normally have a ukulele CD to pass on to you, but I don't happen to have one today. I may pass that on to you after you accordion. Well, it's accordion to Jeff, if he has the CD or not. So, anyway, I think it's time for our raffle. Clark has generously donated his, all we know about his Anchorage book here, to join the cash in the raffle. So get your tickies out, and Sergeant of Arms Diane. Let's take a vote. Anybody want to buy a ticket now? No? Oh, Suzanne Yak, she wants to buy one. Do we have time? Walter does, yeah. Well, while you're collecting money, let me rattle off a couple of announcements so we get things moving along here. I want to thank Susan Bunker for her $100 Paul Harris pledge. Don't forget there is an ARRI meeting on the 17th, not the 10th. Rochelle, thank you for your $500 Paul Harris. And there was another lady, and I can't remember her name, who is going to donate $100 to another member. Millie, thank you again. Appreciate that. Jimmy, hope your mosquito bites heal. Don't forget there's a new board meeting. Or rather, let me rephrase that. The new board needs to get their plans to Rick. Don't forget to do that. And we have a food pantry on the 13th of this month. So, get your little tickies out. All right. 466. Oh, Bobby.
Bobby! Yay!
I thought we'd redraw. .461. Excellent. Come on down.
Great.
Bring your pipes.
Okay. Now, do I have to go over the rules? Okay. You pull out a letter, and you sing a song that starts with that letter. Yeah, it's easy. Everyone wins. And you have 10 seconds to do that. Keep music in your heart, and this will help you remember.
Thank you very much for staying late, folks. And in the immortal words of our current president, remember, all the world needs to be a better place is more Rotarians. Thank you.